Romans chapter 12, we'll just quickly look at that. Before we get to Romans 12, go back to James 4. I guess there's something I want us to see. Praise the Lord. Is there anything like praying amiss? That was what we're looking at. And we looked at that verse where it's usually quoted, James 4:3. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. So there's a thinking that when you ask for something big, maybe you are in the secondary school, you ask for a limousine. That's asking amiss because it's upon your lust. And God doesn't want you to be destroyed. So he gives you a bicycle. Something like that. Well, there's nothing that you use that is not upon your lust. Even when you eat rice, it's not for your spirit. So that would be a very funny explanation. You know, that can be true. And so in the morning, we looked at the context of that statement. And I'm not going to go through what I went through in the morning. I won't go through it. I'll pass through it and I'm coming out. So, but we read it in context, and we read it from chapter 2, and we discovered that James was talking about walking in love. Can you remember that? 24-7? Was walking in love from James 2 when he said, faith without works, and the works he's referring to is not going to the office. Faith without works refers to love. Faith without, that is, you're justified by faith, but you are not loving men, you're not loving others. It says then your faith is dead. That is, it is not functioning for others. That's what he said. And then when he was through with that, he now began to talk from chapter 3 verse 1 about offense. That if you don't offend in word, you don't offend at all. So he's still talking about the same thing, love. In fact, most of what James wrote about in the book of James was about believers walking in love, offenses, strife. But that was a basic thing. And that's why a lot of, as they call themselves, grace preachers, they don't really like that book. Because he whips you in line. He whips you, bam! You go, He calls you sinners. Straight up. Take it or leave it. If you do, you are walking in strife, are you not a sinner? Is that righteousness? Just like Paul used oxymoron as well. So the same thing James was doing. He knew they were born again. He knew they are born of the Spirit. But he knew their conduct was not. So he was dealing with the conduct. And right from the first chapter, he said, if you look at your face in the mirror, and then you go away, straight away you forget the manner of man you are. What did he call it? He said, you are deceiving yourself. That's the word paralogizomai. It means to act beside yourself. So he's dealing with that person that is not you. Are you following what I'm saying here? So he begins to deal with it from chapter 2 into chapter 3. He had recognized in chapter 1, verse 17, that, you know, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, down from the Father of light, whom there is no variableness in the shadow of turning. In verse 18, he deals with the fact that of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that be a kind of the first fruit of his creatures. Of his own creature. So already from chapter 3, you know, I explained to you from chapter 1, verse 13, I'm just going over things we've taught before. So verse 16, he establishes the fact that in God's creation, there is no desire for sin. He separates it. Because God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt any man. It was absolute. So in 18, he says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we might be a kind of the first fruit of his creature. So, from what he has said, we know what we are not. We know who we are. So, if a man now sees that in the word and forgets it, he puts it aside. James says, he deceives himself. Paralogizomai. He acts beside himself. Like I usually tell you, he's acting drama. That's not who he is. So he now begins to deal with that acting beside yourself from chapter 2. Are you following what I'm saying here? Into chapter 3. So from chapter 3, pay attention now. was, look at chapter 4 again one more time. Chapter 4, verse 2, verse 3. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, and that you may consume it upon your lust. We said the word ask there is the word I-T-O. A-I-T-E-O. A-I-T-O. I-T-O. It means to desire for something, to demand as due. I-T-O. It's not talking about prayer. Then he says, you ask and receive not. The word receive not there is the word lambano. It means to take from. Okay? To take from. So he says, because you ask amiss. We said the word amiss is the word kakos. To ask evil. To desire evil things. To desire wrong things. I told you in the morning, it's used 16 times, I think 12 times in the four Gospels for sickness. Then in Acts 23 verse 5, when Paul says, I will not speak evil of the ruler. So when he says you ask amiss, it doesn't mean you ask from God, but what you ask miss the target. You know, it means you desire evil things. Pay attention. You desire evil things. James 4. You desire evil things that you may consume upon the lost. Now, when he says you desire evil things, what's he talking about? It's the same thing Paul had explained in Galatians 5 about walking in the flesh. Desires of the flesh. That is, you are having a desire of the flesh. That you may consume it upon your lust. He's not talking about prayer. He's talking about your actions for others. Towards others. James chapter 3. Where is that desire coming from? Where are you asking it from? James chapter 3. Verse 9. But the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil. Full of deadly poison. Let's take verse 9 together. Therewith bless we God. Even the Father. Let's take it all over again. Let's go. There we bless we God, even the Father, and there we curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Verse 10, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. That means there were brethren wishing others were evil. See, Holy Ghost fire consumed. You know, they couch it with Holy Ghost. Say, Holy Ghost, I destroy you. Everybody, anybody wishing evil against you, return to sender. That's evil. James is saying, how would you, from the same fountain? He says, it's not possible. So he says, look at verse 11. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter water? You can answer that yourself now. Huh? No. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear only berries? Either a vine, figs. So no fountain can both yield salt water and fresh. Now, how were we born? Huh? Of his own will. Come on. We are that every good gift. Remember that? James 1:17. We come down from where? Above. Anothing. John 3:3. We are born again. Anothing. You are born from above. So he's saying that you cannot get evil and good from the same place. You are born of God who always does good. Are you following this at all? That's good. So, now he says in verse 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Now, let me ask you this. This is the synonym of Paul's what? What term is this synonymous with Paul's language? Who can tell me? What he said in verse 13 is synonymous with what Paul calls what? Who Paul calls what? What? Come help me. Huh? Someone said it, so I heard it. What is it? Spiritual man. Exactly. So what James is calling the wise man is Paul's spiritual man. Who is that spiritual man? He says, we'll see him in his good conversation, in his works, in his deeds. Look at verse 14. If you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. What is the truth? What is the truth about you? You are born from above. So when you have envy and strife in your heart, just like he said in James 1, you are acting beside yourself. So follow this. This wisdom, let's take verse 15 together. This wisdom descends not from where? Now, is he talking about above the clouds? Or he's saying this wisdom cannot come from where you were born? Huh? Come on, church. Exactly. He's saying this wisdom of strife does not come from the new birth. He's not saying that it's coming from the clouds. No, 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 no. You're already born from above. James 1:18. Are you following this at all? He's not coming from the new creation in Christ. He said this wisdom doesn't come from above. It is what? Earthly, sensual, and devilish. So that means we have two kinds of wisdom. We have the wisdom of God, which is in the human spirit that is born again. We have the wisdom of this world, which is in the flesh. So he's saying, we have two kinds of wisdom now. We have what is in the spirit and what is in the flesh. Just like Galatians 5. Are you following this? Okay. So he says, for where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. That is walking in what? Good. Verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above. Now, that means the wisdom in the spirit. Is that clear? The wisdom from the new birth. That is the wisdom from the new creation is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy. Is this the fruit of the spirit? All right, very good. And good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You make peace amongst men. Are you following this? So chapter 4 verse 1. So he's not asking you, where are you getting the strife from? Are you following this now? Where are you getting the wars from? Where is this loss? Where is this war in your members from? Where is it coming from? It can't come from your spirit. It can't come from a new creation. It can't come from above. It's coming from sensuality. It's coming from the flesh. Who's following this now? Let me see your hand. Come on. You following this? It's coming from the flesh. So he says, you lost and have not. Have not from where? Huh? The word have is echo, which means to possess. So that means what you are desiring, that is your covetousness, what you are lusting after, you don't have it. Come on, church, are you following this? Are you following this? What you are lusting after is, don't forget, he's still referring to strife. He's saying to you that when you walk in strife, it's not what you have. It's a lust. You don't have it. See, I don't have lust. I don't have strife. Because Paul says in Galatians 5, the same thought, verse 24, he says, those that have Christ, they have crucified the flesh with the lust and the affections. See, if we live in the Spirit, hallelujah, let us also what? Walk in the Spirit. Look at this. So we don't have it. What we have is the Spirit. What we have is the nature of God. What we have is a new creation. It says you ask, you lust and have not. You kill, I explained that to you earlier on. The word kill there has to do with hatred. And desire to have. And cannot obtain. You can't take that from the wisdom of God. You can't take hatred from the wisdom of God. Because he just told you. So where is he coming from? He's not coming from above. He's coming from the earth. Are you following this? Follow this now. Say, cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. Hallelujah. You have not. He's not from you. He's not from the new creation. He's not talking about prayer at all. He's referring to conduct among believers. The word I explain to you, means to desire as due. You cannot desire as due envy and strife because it's not your nature. I told you in the morning, it's only Paul's language and James' language that differed. That doctrine was the same. The language just differed. It's the same way Paul says, when you walk in the spirit, you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you fulfill the lust of the flesh, you're not walking in the spirit. He told Corinth, he said, I could not speak unto you. Can you remember that? 1 Corinthians 3:1. As unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. Either though you were not able to bear it, neither are you now. Say, when is among you strife, envy, bitterness? Are you not carnal and walk as mere men? That's what James is saying here. Hallelujah. Can a believer walk in the flesh? Huh? Is that what he has? Is that desire from his spirit? No. That's exactly what James is saying here. Follow this now. You ask. Where are you asking from? You are asking from where? You are desiring. And you receive not. You receive not from where? From the wisdom of God which has come from above. That is, what you are desiring, you did not take it from the wisdom of God. Because he just told you that the wisdom that comes from above, he doesn't have envy. He doesn't have strife. Are you following this? Follow this now. Because you ask evil things, you desire what? Amiss. The word there is the word kakos. You desire wrong things. What are the wrong things? Envy, strife, bitterness, hatred for brethren. They don't come from the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. They don't come. He says, and you, that you may consume it upon your lust. So, was he talking about prayer? I'm asking the church. No. He's talking about desires. Actions. Because the desire starts from your heart. And he said in chapter 3, he says, when you have envy and strife, where? In your heart. So they start as a desire before they become your actions. And he's saying, those desires did not come from God. James 4:4. You adulterous. Don't forget, I explained that to you in the morning. That the word is not adultery and adulteress. It was just King James. Just one word. Adulterous. Adulterous means to be sinful. He's not talking about marital issues at all. Many times we think he's talking about that, but it's not. Remember, Jesus said, you adulterous generation, you seek after a sign. He used it several times. I showed you that in the morning. It just simply meant you sinful or fleshly. Because when he called them adulterous generation, it didn't mean that everybody was an adulterer. That's not what he was talking about. It means they were seeking for a sign. They were walking in unbelief. Responding to the flesh. Not responding to the Spirit of God. It's called adultery. And that word, I explain, is the word moichalis. M-O-I-C-H-A-L-I-S. It means to serve another. Or to deviate into another. In Matthew 12:39, Matthew 16:4, Mark 8:38, Jesus used it for a conduct of sinfulness. Not the sin of adultery. Adulterous. The same word is used in 2 Peter 2:14. Again, it is used for serving another god. Or serving an idol. Or betraying a friendship and going towards another. That's why the next thing he says is friendship with the world. Is that very clear? So that adulterous was referring to was what? Friendship with? Let me see if you understand that. Friendship with the world. Which is the word, he uses the word philia, P-H-I-L-I-A, which means an affection for the world. It's enmity. Enmity. That is, you cannot walk in the world or walk in the flesh and then you say you are walking in the spirit. They are contrary one to another. So he is not teaching prayer here at all. He's teaching conduct towards other men. In your desires, in your heart. Because everything he said in chapter 4 from verse 1 to 3, they are in the heart of a man, in his mind, who is not walking in the spirit. Let me see your hand if you understand that. Come on, let me see your hand. Is it clear enough? So he's not talking about prayer. So don't think, have I asked amiss? Maybe what I've asked for is not the will of God. Leave that matter. There's nothing like that in scripture. At all. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives unto all men liberally. Two key words, didomi, to give, to offer. Liberally is the word aplos or aplotis. It means to give generously. And he does not find fault at all. He will not find fault. So James cannot say he will find fault in James 1:5. Then come in James 4:3 and say you are asking amiss. He won't find fault. So, but let him ask in faith. He must not be double-minded. He must see God as the same person. Liberal, generous, or else he will be a double-minded man about God. Hallelujah. So, the epistles were full of instructions for believers to love one another and not walk in strife. It's when that happens that in James 5:14, say, if any sick among you, let him call the elders of the church. Let him anoint him with the name of the Lord, for the prayer of faith shall save the sick. He says, if he has committed anything, that will be forgiven him. Say, pray for one another that you might be healed. You won't pray for one another if you have strife in your heart towards each other. The basis of service is love. What did I say? When there is no love for others, there can't be genuine service. That's why Paul, in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, we read that earlier, verse 9 and 10, he says, let love be without pretense. Let love be without pretense. That is hypocrisy. Romans 12, turn there now quickly. Let love be without pretense. Verse 9. Where you are only loving, thank you. You are only loving in words. Oh, bless you, brother. How are you? Oh, God. You are such a blessing. And in your heart, see him. He thinks he's the only one that is burning in the spirit. Have you seen some brethren like that? If somebody that, you know, used to serve the Lord in the church, maybe has a problem. You say, I was always wondering. The Lord, the Holy Spirit told me, I just didn't want to share with anybody. I knew she was going to have a problem. I knew he was going to have a problem. I called someone one time, I said, everything you have ever known has been evil. Who has been talking to you? You have never known that this person will do something well. Just have always sensed it. I said, I think you are the angel of Satan. And when there is no genuine love, there can't be service. And there are so many people. You know, I was once in a ministry. I won't mention the name. I will have mentioned it because they don't have problems. But I don't want to mention it. People used to go, they used to go to the leader to report. And the same people in the church will be smiling, praise the Lord, we're all going to heaven. And they'll go, and they'll be reporting. I just said to say this, so I'm just concerned. It's not that I don't wish him any bad, but I suspect, sir, and in my place of prayer, I also saw it. You get it? I suspect that Brother James is not what he says he is. Sorry, sir, I'm just saying it, sir. Why am I using women? No, not just women, because it's not true. There were brothers that used to do the same thing. Yet in the church, everybody is saying, oh, praise, let me remember one major song. Lord, lift me up and make me stand. Everybody will sing that song and say, don't know that song. Oh, yeah. The way you are singing itself, you don't know that song. When will you sing that song? There's a way you will sing it. that will show you are heavenly bound. This one you are just singing. Heavenly bound. And you sing. After that, you still go and gossip. It has to make you stand up. Some people come to church to gossip. See, it's not that I'm gossiping, no. It's not that I'm gossiping, no. I just feel concerned. Such a person cannot be a person of prayer. People that pray don't gossip. You can attend prayer meetings and your heart is not there. And you are shaking your head like everybody. They are praying and saying, you are shouting, yeah! And they're like, there's nothing from the Holy Ghost. You know, there's some people, there's no time. Have you seen some? There's, oh my God. Anytime you are praying like this, they're always been manifesting. So, most of those kind of people, they gossip. I'm telling you. You get it? You can't serve the Lord without loving people. Which God are you serving? Say, I have a personal relationship with God. He's my, Jesus, you are my best friend. Stop quoting, he's not your best friend. Say, you are my best. So who is your better friend? Who is your second friend? You say, Jesus is my best friend. And you come to church. You see someone who maybe has a need. Or like I said in the morning, he's not in your class. They say, come and sit down beside this person. And you have already come to service with your perfume. You know, there's a perfume that when they enter a place, all their perfumes will disappear. Somebody once shook my hand. And the perfume, after having my bathroom, every day, the perfume stayed. Perfected forever. It was there. I'm telling you, imagine you are sat so well. And, I mean, you came out of your car, your crisp and all that. Then you came out and they said, sit down there. And you said, hey, somebody who has a Dunlop. His jeans is like rag day. His shirt is dirty. You say, no, I can't sit there. You just have problem in your mind. In this instance, his own perfume will swallow your own. You get the point. You now say, hold the person next to you and pray with him. Eh? You need to deal with carnality. You need to deal with carnality. So, when Blessing was singing a song, I give my heart to you and you are singing it. Stop singing it. Act it first. Jesus, say yes, yes. And I say, yes, yes. Look at the person behind you. Yes, yes. Jesus said, they can honor me with their lips and their heart is far away. Service is love. Romans 12:11. When you are fervent in spirit, you are fervent in loving others. That's the thing. If you remove love from Christianity, there's nothing. Everything is gone. You love others. You forgive them. You forbear. You tolerate people. When you don't have that in your heart, you cannot have a valid ministry in the church. You can't. Because the ministry is based on love. You go for prayer meetings. You are praying for people. You are. You can attend. They say, I want to attend church community prayer meeting. You get there. And now happens that it's Brother BJ that is leading the prayer. Why? What did he laugh at? You know, so you already know. Who are those who laugh? Let me know. Is it your prayer group leader? He says, okay, everybody. All right, we're going to pray. Sunday, hurry up. Where were you before? He says, all right, Ephesians 1:16-23. It goes like this. And then he's all frowned up, seriously looking. And then he said, Ephesians 1. Okay? You are still thinking, you are getting to the point where you still talk about essential course. After 1 hour, or Ephesians 1, praying for saints. What's wrong with them that we are praying for them that long? After 1 hour, say, now we're going to pray. Okay, let's come together. Say, let's come together. Hey, guys. You don't have a pastor. I have oversight. So he reads the prayer. He said, ah, another one. He said, we're going to pray. Second Thessalonians 3. Deliver from one Israel, wicked men. Who is after pastor? What's all this? 1 hour. The 3rd hour. So we're going to pray for Watch Jesus Conference. We're going to pray for a prayer meeting where we're going to pray. You know what you say? Sir, can we submit our own prayer request? Then he says, no. Say, the scriptures teach. You go. I said, yeah. He said, they have a problem in that church. Because you are used to prayer meetings where they say, bring your prayer request, they bring it on the altar. You know, you always have altar in your church. This is not altar, it's a green stage. So, was it purple? He says, yes, I can see the prayer request. There are some troubling spirits from your village. The Lord is showing me right now. That today! You know, imagine you go to Egypt. You know, every Egyptian that you see no more. And you are preaching in Egypt. Oh, did you say, what did you just say? You will see who they will see no more. Because many prayer meetings are motivated by selfishness. That's why upon prayer, they still hate one another. Upon prayer, they say, my mom told me one. Two members of the same church. One was coming to visit the other person. Trying to sanctify the city room. Same church, same. That one entered, sanctified it again. As I was living, sanctified our presence living. Because they taught them hatred, suspicion. You know, some churches, they live in suspicion. If you see, that smiling too much, you say. If you frown too much. If your hair is long, you are in trouble. It's like when it gets to this side. Remember one sister like that? We did deliverance till the hair started dropping. At that point, I wanted to tell my leaders, let's don't point this lady. After a while, I think she was tired. She started screaming, hey! Say yes. Go on. Because her hair was long. We didn't know one of us liked that one. Who don't like better thing? Oh, let me leave that for today. Do you understand? And they bring hatred. By the time you are teaching people in the church to be praying against enemies, they will hate each other. By the time you are telling them, there's somebody holding your destiny. Everybody holding your destiny. Everybody. Stop. Are you quiet? You cannot be quiet. Even the stones cried out. You have to cry out today. Say, every order of destiny, every order of destiny, anywhere you are, in my father's family, in my mother's family, and four of them are in the same family. That's civil war. I command you, die! What are you waiting for? Then there are those who preach materialism. That all the prayer is, I confess, I receive, I confess, I digress, I digress. It is mine. I see that hand. It's mine. You get it? So those ones, they will never learn giving. They will never learn giving. And when you want to see them giving, you say, you know, a seed. Offering. Seed. You plant it. You speak in tongues. As it enters the ground, that tongues is the water of the spirit. It waters it.
Hey!
That is your seed. Your seed is your destiny. Any money that is not enough for your dream is a seed. Don't spend it. Sow it.
Is there anybody that always has enough for his dream?
Say, sow it. So you have that mentality. You will never be able to give to people without conditions. Because you have been trained like that. That lifestyle affects the way you pray. If you found out that most of what you pray for is for yourself, you are a selfish believer. Go and look at the epistles. 90% of the prayers were for others. You don't need to be born again to want to ask for things for yourself. From when you were a child, you were praying to be first in the class. Say, Father, I pray for Tunde that you will confuse him. He will not come first this time. It's just a desire of human beings. But when you come into Christ, selfishness leaves you. Hallelujah. You now receive that selfless life of Christ. And you are now what? A servant for others. So your prayer life will follow your lifestyle. Do you have a prayer ministry? Or you pray just like everybody? Just like everybody. Or you pray for others. How often, I was talking to some pastors 2 days ago. I said, you are on social media, writing and writing against preachers. There's nothing wrong in criticizing doctrinal flaws. It's not always very biblical. Anybody that feels bad about it should leave the ministry. But you see, if you are not praying for people, and all you do is to talk at them, you are also in the flesh. You must be praying for people. You must be found praying for people. You pray. You pray for them. If you have found yourself in the work of the ministry, you talk less about people. You pray for them. When people are under your care, you pray for them. You pray for them. Paul says, pray for us. 1 Thessalonians 5:25. After saying, pray without ceasing, verse 17. Pray for us. Ephesians 6, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit and watching unto prayer for all saints. So how many saints do you have in your prayer book? When I was in university, I joined a prayer team. And I told them, I said, what do we pray about? They didn't even know. I said, we're going to pray for every member of the fellowship. Say, eh? I said, yes. Go and get the list from the pastor. That's a prayer squad. So we'll pray. They used to just pray, the leader of the prayer team, he will pray for 1 hour. He will be listening to us. I said, I can't join this kind of prayer team, 1 hour. You are revving up. I said, no. I was a member, but I said, no. Let's come and everybody come together. We'll do this. The first day we finish at 10 p.m. So we meet tomorrow again. He said, I know it's once a week. I said, no. It is when we have to pray. We have to still pray tomorrow because we have not finished praying today. The prayer group now reduced. Only me, the leader, and the people that I came with. Everybody just left. Say, how can a prayer team of a church be praying 1 hour a week? And they will be doing praise worship. Do you know, people sing too much in churches today. They will just be singing. Is it Riaza? You wouldn't even know that they are preached. Just singing again. Thanksgiving. How many times did Jesus sing in the Bible? How many times did Jesus sing in the Bible? How many times did Paul say, I sing? You sang before you started the service. You sang after you did opening prayer. You sang in praise worship. You sang before the pastor came up. You sang for offering. You sang for first timer. You did the testimony. You sang. You sang as you were leaving. Are you a singing church? Bible study and prayer is why we come together. We study about the life we have in Christ. I close here. And we pray. Say, I'm born of love. I'm born of love. I have a ministry for the saints. A ministry of prayer. My life is not selfish. I'm just like Jesus. As he is, so am I in this world.
I'm inspired by the Spirit to pray for others. I love the church. I love the saints. I love ministers of the gospel. I bend my knees every day to pray for others. Their needs are my needs. Their burdens are my burdens. I will not rest till I see thousands and millions come to know Jesus. I will not rest till I see thousands and millions walk in the knowledge of the truth. I am given to prayer. I'm giving to prayer. I'm giving to the love of God. Hold your neighbor and let's pray for one another. Come on. Pray for that person in the Holy Ghost.